The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Today, brethren, is a day that God is looking forward to in the future. It's a time that He can harvest the first fruit of His people. During this holy day season, we are continuing to learn about God's master plan of salvation for all of mankind. And while we learn, God does continue to mold us in His very image, getting us ready to be harvested for His first fruits. Are we developing the very nature of God in ourself? And are we developing the nature in ourself for this wonderful historic event that will soon be coming in the near future? God gave His laws to the church on the days of Pentecost, pouring out His Holy Spirit on His people. In James chapter 4, verse 12, it says that there is one judge and one lawgiver, even He who has the power of salvation and of destruction. But who are you that you should judge your neighbor? Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, judge not that you be not judged. For what manner you should be judged, it will be measured back to you again. See, God is the lawgiver, He is the judge, and He gets to declare how He wants to be worshipped. That's why we are here today. He decides who He is going to work with. He decides who He's going to call. Mankind does not have this right. Mankind doesn't have the right to worship God any way He wants to worship Him. God declared it. It is His right. And God poured out His Holy Spirit on the New Testament church to have the Holy Spirit to dwell with man, where we can see how God wants us to live a godly life, following His laws, to be able to become like His Son, Jesus Christ, in everything that we do. This day is an anniversary for the Church of God, as God started with Jesus Christ as first of the first fruits, and then those who come after. For us today, we have been called by God. We must continue to study, to pray, to meditate, and to fast, so we can draw closer to God, putting on the very nature of God. For we are being judged for our actions today, because judgment is on the house of God now. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 16. It says, "Yet if anyone suffers as Christians, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin on the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous or one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." See, this is our day of salvation. This is our day of qualifying for the kingdom of God. See, God has given us His Holy Spirit. The world does not have it. But one day, when God is ready, He will begin to teach them as He has allowed Jesus Christ to teach each one of us. See, Jesus Christ being born, physical flesh and blood, we know the story. He died for our sins. He was resurrected and then born into the spiritual family of God. Yeah, there were others back in that time that Jesus Christ did resurrect back from the dead into physical life. But Christ was the first one to be born of spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward those who are Christ at His coming." See, Jesus Christ is qualified to be the head of the church and is capable to rule the body. Turn with me over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in the heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. See, Christ cares for his people. He, along with the Father, they are excited for this day because they want to give us all of their blessings. They want us to share with them their eternal life with us. See, they changed their eternal existence for us. And God has so many unlimited blessings to give to his people that all we have to do is be willing to follow, giving up everything in our life that ties us to sin. Do we have the will, brethren? Do we have the will to give up everything in our life? A question we need to ask for ourselves, especially when we make it personal and mean, can we give up everything, including our life, to follow God? Let's turn back with me to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24, Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my name's sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will the man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works.'" See, we will all stand in front of Jesus Christ, whether it's for the punishment of our sinful actions that we've lived in our life, or be rewarded for the blessings of being a living sacrifice and giving up everything that we've given to follow Christ. See, this is why the church is being judged today, and this is why also this day is important to the church of God. See, God has called us. He's called each one of us for his purpose, and through his Holy Spirit, he is revealing himself to us about his laws that is being poured out on this day. This particular day is for the church, the Holy Spirit that is being poured out. See, God is the only one who can search our true heart. He can search mankind to know what his true intentions are. And if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us, we are stoking the fire that burns. We're stoking that fire because it gives us life, to where we are becoming more like our Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to live, to breathe, and to work with us, having that very nature that God has. Then, that is when we walk in perfection, becoming that living sacrifice, because we are molded as the same image as Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 27. Romans 8:27. It says, "Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he who predestined these, he also called; whom he called, these he also justified; and to whom he justified, these he also glorified." See, with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are going to be concerned for each other's well-being in the church. We're also going to be concerned for those of the world. You know, what are we to become? Lights of the world. Because our heart is going to be set on the Father, doing his will. And through living by the very word of God, God has transformed us to be that beacon of light in this dark society. And as our heart turns to the Father, we also to begin to understand how to take care of the temple of God, which is our bodies. See, God's way of life is easy. We just have to desire it. God lays down all the tools right in front of us. We just have to pick them up. It's our nature that wants to make it so difficult to follow God. Brethren, just being baptized and know the difference between right and wrong is not enough to inherit eternal life. We have to act on it. We have to do it. But also, we must live it. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him in verse 7, 'For it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Well, here we can see Christ was tempted in all points, just as we are tempted in our life in all points. As 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world." And as we just read in verse 3, where Satan says, commanded Jesus to change the stone into bread, we could look at that and call that the lust of the flesh. And verse 5, where he took him up on the holy city and sat him on the pinnacle of the temple, would be the lust of the eyes. As verse 8, showing him all the kingdoms of the world, that would be the pride of life. See, mankind needs God's laws because without them, we cannot see our faults. The understanding of God's law is better, brethren, than anything man can ever dream of or man could ever build on this earth. See, God is not going to force his commandments on us. We must have the desire to want them. If we choose to follow God and to walk in all of his ways, we will have the opportunity to be born and be first fruits in the kingdom of God, because we are no longer living in the flesh, but living in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 9, it says, "But you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." See, if we do not have God's Holy Spirit, we are not of God. We can go through the motions. We can study. We can learn. We can memorize Scripture. We can even be a teacher working with others or being a leading role model in the Church of God. However, it's only a period of time before our actions will magnify and reveal who and what we are really about. What type of fruit, brethren, do you produce? Acts chapter 8, picking up in verse 9, says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from to least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, who he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, whom they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet had fallen upon none of them, they had been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money, and have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven." One thing that I question all the time is many people have been baptized into the Church of God. For what purpose? Is it possibly for the wanting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? And over a period of time, the true facts have come out, what they really stood for. And some of the things that they stood for contradicted the Word of God. So my question is did they just get really wrapped up in the excitement of learning something new, something different, from being around all of those who truly received God's Holy Spirit? Because when I read this, as verse 12 said, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women," so we know they were there, "and Simon, who was a sorcerer, who said he believed, and he was baptized." Simon went through the motions. His heart was not really set on the Father, but his mind was set on the things that he could obtain from the power of the Holy Spirit. See, brethren, we are not baptized into different bodies of Christ. We, being many, are one body. Christ and everyone, and everyone to another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into the one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, am I not of the body?' is it there not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' it is there not of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleases him. And if they were all of one members, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but yet one body." See, God knows who he calls. He is the lawgiver. He is the judge. He's the one that determines how he is going to be worshipped. He has chosen us to know his truth. And we can understand a little bit more about his truth through the holy days. But we can also see vision and lessons that we can learn from the parable of the tares. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, picking up in verse 24, it says, "Another parable he put forth, saying to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owners came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Well, do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn.'" See, we will know people by their fruits if we are watching and letting God's Holy Spirit to guide our lives. See, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And if we're living by God's Holy Spirit guiding in us, we will be producing that good fruit. And the fruit that we produce is distinctively different than the tares that represent in the world. Christ the first of the first fruit, then we come after. Are we preparing ourselves, like I said once again, to be ready for the great harvest? In James chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. But if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." See, we need to be diligent and zealous in what God is doing in his church. We do make a difference, brethren. We do make a difference in our own action. Whether they are good or whether they are bad, it does affect the body. So, are we being led by the Spirit of God? Or are we in limbo, doing whatever we care to do at any given time, having one foot in the world and one foot in church? See, God is doing the work through his people that are on fire for his way of life. He is showing the world the gospel of Jesus Christ through each one of his servants. Our actions, our emotions, our calmness in our speech, the love we show, the joy that we give others, the peace we have in our life, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness that radiates from us, and the faith that we believe that what God says, he will hold true to his word. Meekness, temperance, the qualities that the saints of God carry with them. See, God does it. He does it all through us. We just have to be the willing tool. In Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." See, our goal, brethren, should be to finish the work of God. God has started through changing our lives so we can live a righteous life. Are we developing the very nature of God in our life, becoming ready for the great harvest? See, Christ had his focus on the big picture. Is our focus the same? In John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will whom he sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit in eternal life, that both he and the sower and he who reaps may rejoice together.'" As man comes to the end of his reign here on earth, we need to keep a sense of urgency to where we want to be in our relationship with God. Remember that there are going to be difficult times ahead in the last days. People will be selfish. They're greedy, boastful, and conceited. They will be insulting, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and irreligious. They will be unkind, merciless, slanderous, violent, fierce. They will hate good. They will be treacherous, reckless, swollen with pride. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Brethren, let's not lose our cool and throw everything away that we have worked so hard for because we are just tired of being around people who carry this attitude in their life. We can overcome the world, brethren, just as Christ overcame the world. So, brethren, are we being prepared? We need to educate ourselves to be armed with the Word of God. This is why we have been called and chosen to take on this task God has given us to do. This is our day of salvation. Revelation chapter 19, something we can look forward to when Christ does return. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" So let's rejoice. Are you rejoicing, brethren, on this feast day of Pentecost? And as God continues to pour out his Holy Spirit on each one of us, let us be guided, let us be directed as we humbly move forward on our knees, seeking the kingdom of God. And one final scripture, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The day of Pentecost. Why are you here? Let each one of us be led by the Spirit of God to where we can give up everything, brethren, to follow God. And may God give us the strength to allow his Holy Spirit to flourish and to mature in our life. Because just having God's Holy Spirit and doing nothing with it is not enough to inherit the kingdom of God. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.